Zion Williamson leaving the bubble for an important family matter. And as a result, he is now not in the area where he can be monitored by the NBA, which opens up protocols and discussions about what's next. Obviously, most importantly, is the health of his family. Aside from that, it does raise the question of what's next for the team, the player, and of course, the league. Go Look and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Jason Fitz sitting in for Trey Wingo with Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. And look, we've been pumped ever since we found out about the expanded return of the NBA, and I believe they expanded it just so they could find a way to pigeonhole Zion into this somehow, right? Like, we knew it was going to be a part. And then you see how jacked he looks when he gets out of pandemic, and it's like, woo, I was excited to see it. But now, for at least today, that could be on hold.
It is on hold. I'm pumped right now for the cookies that are in front of me. Quick shout out to Cindy and Chuck, who sent some cookies for, you know, people saying for the end of the show coming up. I kind of like this, Mike, the way it's going. As our show is going to end, if people want to send like goodies like this, I'm kind of digging that.
Who are we to turn it down, right?
I mean, that's like exactly right. So Cindy and Chuck, thank you. And quick update, in case anybody does not know, 2 weeks from today will be the last show for Golic and Wingo. It will be my last run on ESPN Radio. There's a new lineup out, of which I will not be a part of. I would have liked to have, but that's the way it works. I'm going to continue doing. I am under contract with ESPN for the end of the year, so I asked if I could do college football. That's the route I'll go, if there is college football. Hoping there is college football, but 2 weeks from today will be the last show in part of the new lineup. These guys are part of it. Mike, you and Shanae Ogumike will be from 4 to 7 in the afternoon, and you'll follow that on Spain and Fitz. You and Sarah Spain follow that. So I'm hoping that I'll be doing college games, and I'm hoping maybe I can go on your guys' show if you guys will let me. I mean, you know, I have a little experience. I can maybe add a little something. Just let me know who I got to grease the wheels for to get on your guys' shows.
I mean, we'll talk about it maybe.
Yeah, I mean, your takes are pretty good for your age, so I figure we can bring someone in that
instance. Wow. Wow.
The real question is, can I still show up here at 5 o'clock in the morning and just sit in the chair for a few hours? Like, just to feel like...
You're just going to pull in the driveway and Jason's going to be sitting there with the high beams on.
Let me just say, the July 31st, the last show, ends at 10 o'clock. At 10:01, all this stuff will be out of my house.
The garage code's getting changed, Jason. This that'll be the last time you speak.
I don't need much. I can just sit in the spot and I'll just loudly give my takes to no one. It'll be
you
perfect.
Go ahead and sit out in the driveway and I'll call the police and say you're trespassing.
That's a good talk. That's a very good talk. All right, go look at Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and let's head over to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Andrew Lopez joins us there, ESPN NBA Pelicans reporter. Obviously, as we alluded to, Zion has to leave the bubble for a family matter. So, Andrew, thanks for the time this morning, and I hope you and yours are safe. What's the latest you've heard on Zion?
It's kind of been radio silence from a lot of his guys so far. What we do know is that there is a very important family matter that he has to attend to, a medical matter. Pels didn't really comment on it last night. All we know is that he is out of the bubble. We don't know what his testing protocols are. That's kind of the key for him, whether or not this is going to be a four-day quarantine when he gets back or up to 14 days when he gets back. So that's kind of the big thing right now, is if he's getting tested. But right now, all the Pelicans are really thinking about is, the safety of and the health, really, of Zion's family.
And again, that we always want to stress, that is the most important thing out there, that everything is good there and he can take care of whatever he needs to take care of, and hopefully it can end positively. As far as Zion, there were pictures of him before he went back into the bubble of just dropped some weight and looked, I mean, incredible. And a lot of people had thought about that when he came into the league, was should he drop some weight. Him doing what he did, was that more him just wanting to do that, or did that come from coaching staff, management saying, we think you need to do this?
Now, the Pels have always been good with him being around 280, 285. They said earlier on that's how he became so dominant, is playing around at that weight. They were just worried about his joints, his flexibility, and things like that. But I don't even think he really lost a lot of weight. I think a lot of it just he turned a lot more into muscle during the break. So I still think he's probably around that 275 mark. And I think they just want him to be leaner and take as much pressure off of his joints as possible. As long as he has this flexibility that they want, they're okay with him being there. But during that process of quarantine, where he was able to come back looking shredded as possible, I think, you know, the team kind of maybe wanted him to stay healthy, and he just showed up looking like that.
And I'm curious, Andrew Lopez with us, our ESPN NBA Pelicans reporter. Zion, the whole exercise has been managing expectations, dealt with the injury early on, didn't get to see him on the court as soon as we wanted to. When he came back, made such an immediate splash, started becoming exactly what we'd expected. And so I'm sure the expectations changed as we move to the break. Obviously, everything with the pandemic and quarantine and coming off that now, where are the expectations going into the bubble, not only for Zion, but for this Pelicans team and what the goals for this year now look like?
Well, clearly they were high for Zion because the NBA, once again, seems like based their whole schedule around Zion. He's in on opening night. He was obviously, he's one of the, you know, one of the four teams the Pels are playing on July 30th. He has, I think, the Pels have like five national games. So the NBA was expecting big things out of him, and I think the Pels were expecting him too. This was a Pels team that was 3.5 games out of the eighth seed when the season ended. They felt good about their chances. Jrue Holiday told us yesterday, you know, he said, we felt we had the eighth seed. We had to play Memphis twice. We had to play Sacramento twice. He goes, we felt like we had the eighth seed, and then everything kind of happened. So still, Pelicans feel like they have a good shot. This was a team who, we don't know if Zion's going to miss games, but let's say he does. Before he came back, this was a team that went 11-5 in their 16 games prior to Zion's debut. Now, obviously, they had a terrible start. They got Derek Favors back and started to make a huge jump. Even the one game that Zion missed, I think with a sprained ankle, once he came back, Pels won that game. So they're 12-5 in their last 17 games without him. They think they'll be okay, even if he's not there. They had a lot of experience. They played 44 games without him this year. That allowed Brandon Ingram to become an all-star. That allowed Lonzo to kind of find his voice. And obviously, they're good with Favors at the back of their defense. So they think they'll be okay. I think they'll be okay if Zion is to miss any amount of games.
We're talking to ESPN NBA Pelicans reporter Andrew Lopez on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Golic and Wingo, Jason Fitz in for Trey with Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. You know, you mentioned all of the pieces there with Ingram and Paul, and you know, it's a reminder that this team is sort of still young together. And so when you talk about the limited time that they had together, now they've had a very long break. Now Zion may miss part of this this practice time. I mean, how's it going to affect them trying to gel together in a playing style on the court when they actually get back into games?
You know, I think they're going to have to lean on what they did, I guess, what, 7-8 months ago now, before he was on the court. I mean, they did get they were able to find themselves right around Christmas time, maybe mid-December. They were having a 13-game losing streak. Things looked bleak, and they made a few defensive changes along with getting Derek Favors back. One of those was dropping the bigs on pick and rolls, allowing them to do something different on defense. And once they did that, things started to click. And I think the confidence level of this team jumped tremendously after a Christmas night win in Denver. I think Denver was a 2 seed at the time in the Western Conference. Almost nobody gave them a chance. Brandon Ingram comes out and hits like a Christmas Day record 7 threes. And I think it was that game that really started to kind of give them the confidence that, I mean, we can play with anybody in the league right now. And, you know, Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, who they all got in the AD trade, those guys all have gelled and have a good rapport with each other. And it's just about trying to continue that right now. You still have basically, you know, every other starter that you were going to have. You're probably as healthy as you've been all season, minus Zion. So, again, they still have a lot of confidence going into this thing, in part because of how they were playing right before Zion got back. Now, this is 4.5 months off. Nobody can really tell what you're going to look like. You can't really say, oh, they're going to look like the team they look like in March. But that's why they have the confidence, is because they won, you know, 12 of those last 17 without him.
Pelicans reporter Andrew Lopez joining us on Golic and Wingo. And so let's look at a bigger picture for a moment here, because everybody likes what this team is doing now, but this is a team that wanted to, you know, tried to build around Anthony Davis, and he ended up leaving, going to the Lakers because nothing came to fruition. Is this team, how it's currently set, do you think going to be enough, or what is the talk of what they may need in the future going forward to really get to the top of this conference?
I think with the difference now is when Dell Demps was in charge, there was kind of a mandate to win now with Anthony Davis, and Demps tried to go with the young veteran approach. He got Tyreke Evans, and he traded for Drew Holiday, and tried to add Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, and unfortunately for them, because of injuries, that group never was able to gel. But they tried to accelerate AD's process, and I think what under David Griffin, what they're doing now is they're trying to get younger guys to grow with him. The Lonzo Balls, the Brandon Ingrams of the world, they view those two guys as building blocks moving forward. And I think what you're going to need to see about how to build around this to make the jump to the top of the Western Conference is going to be how Zion develops on defense. And if you can get a lot of great minutes out of Zion at the four or the five, where does he fit? I think ideally, you look at Derek Favors and you think that he's not usually an ideal fit next to Zion, because they're both not traditional 3-point shooters. You feel like it, but you look at the lineups and they're like, they're double digits on off when those guys are out there. So it works. You would think logically, and a guy who can stretch the defense as a five, but guard fives, is somebody who would be an ideal fit next to Zion. But I think it all depends on how he grows on the defensive end. If he can turn into what people thought he could be defensively at Duke, it changes what you can do. But I think it all hinges on, where he is on. He's going to get his points on the offensive end. He's going to be a force down there. He's going to be a force on the boards. It's just what he turns into on the defensive end, and then what you can build around him that way for you to make that next jump.
Andrew, we appreciate your time, your insights. Stay safe, my friend. We appreciate you joining us on the show. Thanks for everything.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
So a quick update on that. We're saying he's going to get, be there on offense. We forgot. Remember, he was hurt starting the season. He's played in 19 games so far. He scored 448 points. It's the most through a player's first 19 games since some guy named Michael Jordan. He's averaging a little over 23 points a game, and shooting 59% from the field. He's on pace to join some guy named Shaq as the only other rookie to average 20 points and 55% shooting in the season. So pretty good company there on the offensive side. That's why the talk there on the defensive side, how does he develop there and with what they have around him?
Yeah, considering what an extreme athlete and asset he is on that end also. So going to be interesting to watch. And again, first and foremost, we hope the best for whatever Zion's dealing with his family. All the rest of this will be secondary. He's got a long career to take care of all that. Another update in all this one, a Tiger update right now. If Trey were here, we would bust open the folder, but he's not, so we won't. Parred his first two holes, 10 and 11, and then birdied 12 to move to 2-under now on the tournament. Tony Finau, 2-over through the day and out of the league. Gary Woodland, your leader at 6-under, leading by 2 shots. There are 4 players, including Tony Finau, tied at 4-under right now. It's starting to, we're starting to get there. Good early start from Tiger on all this one. We'll see. Fingers crossed. Stick to the Tiger tracker today, folks.
It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo with Mike Golic. Mike Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. A lot of our conversation today has been around the Washington Post article that came out yesterday afternoon. And that Washington Post article outlines 15 women that have come out and allegedly there were sexual misconduct and harassment going on within the organization. One of them spoke on the record, again, 14 anonymously, but there are reasons for that, as they have non-disclosure agreements that the team wouldn't let them out of that could force legal action. So you have 15 women coming out and giving incredibly powerful stories and statements about what treatment was like and what life was like within the halls of the Washington football team and the organization. The team has come out and said they're launching their own independent investigation, so we'll see what that means moving forward. But it has created a conversation this morning that I think is an important one about the fact that, as was said earlier with one of our guests, this isn't just a Washington football team issue. I mean, we are hearing more and more about the way that this is a unilateral issue across, you know, all of football, all of sports, really all of society, in much of society, as we see women battling certain concepts and how men feel they can treat women.
Yeah, it's been interesting to hear from other women around the world of sports and the stories they've told and talked about on this, and really the response that you get to a lot of this and the response that they generally tend to get to a lot of this, which is either, we don't believe you, I'm going to need to see more right. proof in all of this, this isn't enough, this isn't salacious enough, and especially in this case with the Washington story, was the reaction of a lot of people, or just the fact that, and this is maybe among the saddest ones, is what you hear from a lot of women who have unfortunately had to counsel other women on this, is this is just what you have to put up with if you want to work in this industry. Like, what a horrible thing to say about the world of sports if that's the thing.
I mean, it's amazing to me to say you come into a situation, you say, oh, by the way, this is what you're going to put up with. And that was told that some young lady who was there for a bit would tell incoming females that, hey, this is what's going to happen. I mean, it seemed to be part of what's going to happen here. I mean, I don't know. It just blows my mind that we're in this spot or still in this spot, that women get objectified this way and that it's tolerated. It's tolerated and not just shut down at the first instant and let it be known by the top of the top that the sledgehammer comes down hard on you if this is ever done. And obviously this wasn't done in the Washington case.
Yeah, and in a lot of these cases, and I think your point just how normalized it gets, and I'm always curious, like we're, you know, on this show, Allie is one of our producers. Yes. She's the only woman that works on the show directly mm-hmm. with us day-to-day in all this, and as we put together our document last night and we're talking about all this, Allie was, you know, gracious enough to share a lot of her first-hand accounts. Allie was a collegiate diver, has a background in gymnastics, has been around sports forever and been at this company forever, and Allie, I mean, you shared some pretty personal examples of this, including one of which included the man sitting next to me in here in what you hope to aspire to do in the world of sports and how that was sort of shouted down by other people.
Yeah, so as an underclassman on the swim team, you were you had to go and kind of run the club swim meets that might come through your pool. And Golic, one day you walked into the pool, you were there to see Sydney swim, and I was very excited. Working at ESPN is something that I've always wanted to do. I knew exactly who you were when you walked in, and I started telling everyone who would listen, like, oh, there's Mike Golic. Someday I'm going to work with him. And that was met with only laughter. The idea that I would be able to get myself into ESPN to work with Mike Golic one day was not something that anyone thought as a woman that I would be able to do. And then as I continued to tell people that that's what I was going to do, and people who were in my classes, my journalism classes, those guys were the ones who, when I look back on everything, were just the worst. They said that I would never work at ESPN unless I slept with someone. They told me that only models can work for ESPN, and only women who were models could talk about sports. Those are the only people who would anyone else would listen to. And they also referred to me as Antonio Pierce the entire time, which love Antonio Pierce, but they did that because I had large shoulders and a six-pack instead of your typical female body, which I apparently just went through the fitness craze way too early because people didn't appreciate the six pack 15 years ago in college. So I mean, those were just kind of the things that you know, you had to kind of deal with on a daily basis. Looking back on it now, I love the fact that I work with you, Golic, and I can laugh at them because, to be quite honest, I haven't heard a single one of their names on the air anywhere or working behind the scenes. So,
well, listen, Allie, it's a testament to your work ethic, you know, that you would hear that and maybe use that as fuel, if that's what you did, to get to this position, because it's your talent. Obviously your talent got you to where you are. And so that's a testament to you. And you're right. You don't hear from those people. It's so easy to throw the dart and throw the stone and say you can't. But you put your head down and you plowed through and you did what you needed to do from the work side of it and became good enough from the work side of it to work, at ESPN. That's on you. And I can do nothing but stand and applaud that you had to deal with all that crap out there and yet still came out on top.
And that's the point, is that, Allie was strong enough to
right.
push all that to the side and say, no, I know exactly what I want to do and how I'm going to go about that. And I heard from another friend yesterday who works in the industry and hears a lot of that and said, I'm tired of having to be stronger in order to do the same thing that everyone else wants to do. And for every, for every Allie Bronson who is strong enough to push through that, what if there's someone else who just doesn't want to deal with all that and you lose out on someone who would have been a great asset to a company, a great asset to the world of sports coverage or sports in general, and you lose out on that because they've got to deal with circumstances that the three of us never had to deal with. Like, none of us have ever been reduced to our gender when it comes to the way that we do our job, or sexualized in the workplace, or harassed like that. Like, that stuff doesn't happen. That's not stuff you have to deal with when your goals or ambitions are met, usually with support or just the reassurance that there are plenty of other people that look and sound like you that do the same thing. And so it would be nice for that to not be the case sometime soon. And you wonder now if we're in a time period where we are seeing people not just let this stuff go. Like, it used to be stories like this come up and then we get, upset about it for a couple of days and then it moves on. And we've seen when it comes to race, when it comes to other things, people aren't letting it slide anymore. People are going to hold it accountable. And so you wonder if now in this situation, because we're all aware and in that mode of now we're really going to try and change this, that this can hopefully be another area that benefits from that kind of momentum.
And the road you have to keep going. Think of the road Allie just said, the road to get to ESPN. Now think of the road to get there and then getting somewhere, and then you have to deal with it there. You know, the women that have, I got that road to go work at Washington or said any other organization where this is happening, you fought that fight to get there, showed you're talented enough to get there, and then you get there, and then all of a sudden it's, hey, wear a low-cut blouse, wear a higher skirt, get pinched in the hallway. I mean, my God, what are we doing? I mean, seriously.
It comes back to something I've said many times over the last couple of months, but personal responsibility is something we all need to start taking in these conversations. Again, in Nashville, I worked with an organization at 102.5 The Game and the Nashville Predators called MEND that specifically helps victims of domestic assault and victims of these sorts of instances. And the biggest message that they teach you when you start to work with them is that the way we can affect change is left to right. Stop looking to everybody else to make change and start looking at the people in your life and holding everybody to a higher level of accountability to the conversations they're having. We've got to stop allowing certain comments, jokes, certain ways of acting to be a part of our daily lives and stop allowing the companies we support to do the same. There has to be some level where we affect change and where we expect the companies that we do business with to have that same level of responsibility. I guess I just hoped that we would see a lot of these minor details that are actually major details had been worked out. I hoped that we would come into this moment where we'd find out that behind the scenes for months, the NFL and the NFL Players Association had been working on every possible variable so we could smooth sailing get into an NFL season. But we now know that that is absolutely not the case. Go look at Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, SiriusXM, Channel 80, your smart speakers, Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo with Mike Golic and Mike Golic Jr. And look, guys, I understand it when you're Major League Baseball and your season was about to start and all of a sudden you say, oh my God, COVID. When you are the NBA and you stop the season in the middle of everything, you say, oh my God, COVID. And I understand that the information is constantly changing, but we are days away from the start of camp, and it looks like there are massive holes in the details that I just can't wrap my head around why they haven't at least been discussed and worked out to a point that it feels like players in the league are on a more similar track.
You listed things. This is interesting. Let's just take the Texans. You were listing J.J. Watt had some concerns. Read his concerns, and I'm going to tell you what's going on.
Yeah, J.J. Watt talked about the things that they hadn't yet received answers on. There was no infectious disease emergency response plan from any of the teams involved in this. No definitive answer on the number of preseason games they're going to be playing. No definitive answer on the testing, how many and how often when it comes to the test. What is the effect that a positive test is going to have going forward? What is training camp going to look like in general, schedule-wise, in a lot of this? Were all concerns that J.J. Watt posted in a tweet last night.
J.J. Watt plays for the Texans. He posted those concerns, And then there's this. The Texans have been given the go-ahead to start bringing rookies into the training facility Monday, July 20th. That's 3 days away for COVID testing and then the onboarding process per source. So in 3 days, they're going to start rolling in the rookies for the testing process and some of the processes we still don't know about and start their journey in to the NFL for these rookies. Boy, that sounds interesting.
It sounds daunting. And Jason, you brought up before the NFL. They've had so much time. Why is this look so much different than the other ones? Think of sports return amidst this virus as a video game. The NFL is the final boss. You work all the way up to there and you've got, all right, we've got bubble sports. You're going to be dealing with a controlled environment there. There's things that go along with those, but ultimately we think we can kind of get a handle on and make those safe. Then we've got sports taking place outdoors. You've had things like the Bundesliga taking place over there, NASCAR, even baseball coming up that are going to involve travel too. Right. But they're sports that we've all admitted have more social distancing involved in them for the ones taking place in America. Overseas, those countries are in entirely different places with the virus. Then you've got the NFL, the most violent collision-based sports with the most bodies per roster on any given team that's also going to try and outdoor travel during this entire season. So it is the final boss in this situation of all the difficulties smashed together in the world of sports.
And I understand that. I just wonder what's been a... This is a calloused way to say it, but what else have they been working on? Like, in my mind, Roger Goodell and the owners and the players every day for the last 4 months should have been on a call where it's like, okay, here's the information we know today, and here's where we are with it. Nothing should be a surprise anymore. I mean, you've had months to at least have, here's the information today, and what are we going to do with it? And I understand the logic of the information changes drastically, so why waste the time? But in my mind, I mean, why not waste the time? If you're prepared for every variable every single day, nothing hits you by surprise. For J.J. Watt to be speaking out with such big issues, having no real answer, it stuns me that we're just now hearing this conversation and it hasn't been addressed.
I found it interesting. We had Sam Acho on, who's a free agent right now, but he's on the executive committee for the union. And I asked him, I said, is either the union or the league, when you guys talked about the template that baseball has right now? And I don't know about you guys, but in the answer, I got the sense they had not. I got the sense that there hadn't been any discussion of what baseball was doing. And I guess my thought is, why wouldn't you? I get it if you're not going to look at the NBA or the WNBA or MLS because they're in a bubble. But baseball is doing the exact same thing you're doing. They have guys back in their facilities now training. What's their procedures going like? Because they're going to have 30-man rosters to start. So it's not going to be as big as football, but it's still a pretty good size group that they're going to have. They're going to have a taxi squad as well. They're going to be traveling to their games. So if they haven't looked at kind of baseball's template, I would be surprised at that because we are so in the unknown where I'd be really saying, okay, what are they doing and how's it working? What are they doing and how's it working? So I hope they have. Maybe I read that wrong, but that's the gist of what I got of that answer, that they hadn't done that. And so it does seem a bit surprising with the longest runway that all of a sudden there are still these issues when, again, the Texans rookies can report Monday.
Let me ask you one question because you guys have been in these locker rooms and you've been a part of these conversations. J.J. Watt was somebody that came out and spoke pretty loudly, as many star players did, against the collective bargaining agreement, which we still saw pass because so many players didn't echo that sentiment. They just need to go out and get the money. We always talk about how some of the stars don't reflect the mindset of everybody. In an instance like this, are we seeing that again? I mean, J.J. Watt's coming out and asking a lot of the questions. Are the Mike Golic Juniors of the world that are fighting to make rosters asking those same questions and having that same voice?
I don't think they have the same voice. No. Let's start there. Right. It is on players, the high profile ones especially, to speak up in these instances if people aren't comfortable. It's even more because J.J. Watt, while he probably states concerns that others have, isn't someone, as far as I know, that's an elected PA official. Like, those are the ones that are elected to voice the opinions and the thoughts of everyone on those teams. Your PA representative for your team is supposed to voice the opinions and thoughts of the people that he talks to on that given team. And so I don't know if JJ represents those, but for the average player, you're more likely to want to go out there. But you also still want answers in that situation. And I think specific to these answers, these are ones that seem insulated from a lot of the changes going on. How often we test is something you could answer, whether cases are spiking in Florida and Arizona or cases were trending in a better direction, all this. You can still give testing frequency. You can still try and decide on preseason games, although that one might be a little bit more dependent on it. Scheduling things, I think those things are a bit more independent from some of the other decisions you're going to have to make that are largely and way more affected by the way the virus is acting publicly that they can't control.
So two answers here for you, Jason. First, to the undrafted Mike Golic Jr. and the 10th round pick of Mike Golic Sr. when I played. Players like that, when do I show up? You know what? No matter what JJ's concerns are, and you may have some concerns in that, but when do I show up? I need to be there to try and make this team. Now, one other thing players, and I think, or athletes, like I've always said, we live an itinerary life, right? Be here then, be here, and dress like this. This is where we're going to be. This is what we're going to do is, so give me answers. I may not like the answers. I may like the answers, but let me know what they are. Right now, there are like no answers. Everything is still kind of out in the ether. And it's like, okay, I don't even know if I'm going to like the answer because there's no answer just yet of what's happening. So I'm a little surprised this close to when camp is supposed to start. We're not even in the, well, I don't like that answer. I want this answer. It's like we can't figure out an answer.
And we've gone through two phone calls already this week, and we went in with basically the same list of things to get done and kept coming out with the same list of things to get done.
I can't really wrap my head around why it's just not happening. By the way, our amazing research team has found out for us, J.J. Watt, not an NFL player rep for the Texans. So that answers that question. Go Look and Wingo, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the show. Penzo Performance Line. Coming up, is the smart pick this weekend a tiger or a bison?
You up?
You up.
You mean like a booty call text?
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about here? Is that where you're going?
I mean, I'm just...
You up.
Yes.
Wow.
That's
I'm going to try that right now to my wife. Okay. I just sent it. We'll see what I get back.
I may
have to leave the show. You know what I'm saying? All right, got a response.
What'd she say?
She just texts back, idiot. That means I'm staying here?
Okay, that means she's not here for it. That's the next vernacular.
Not here for it.
Yeah, she's not here for it.
So if you weren't here for it, would you want to make it a point of texting back to say, yeah, I'm up, but you ain't getting this booty, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I went there.
I'm not sure whether I like that moment or hibbity-dibbity either better, but I feel like those are my two proudest contributions to the show.
Spoiler alert, Dad didn't have to leave the room.
I never heard of the whole you up thing, and you helped me with that. And let me tell you what, it didn't work. It's the only time I've tried it.
Well,
I'm going to say, more often than not, you and Mom are both asleep. Like, if I text you guys at 8:30, there's a very real chance you guys are already both asleep.
That's very true. A family text went out at 8:37 the other night, and we both missed it. Got it the next morning.
Golic and Wingo's brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear believes the movement drives us forward, and they believe in the importance of a pit stop. Sometimes it takes a moment to pause before we all start moving again, so as you get ready for the road ahead, Goodyear's here to help. Visit Goodyear.com to learn more. Goodyear, more driven.
And we missed the text, and we weren't asleep.
Wow.
Huh. Well, again, the flow chart is undefeated. Undefeated, none tied, all time.
Look, I'll just say.
I'm going to draw this flow chart one day and put it on social media so people understand how predictive it is with your sex jokes.
I only have 10 left. 10 left. I got 10 left.
Go Look at Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. Jason fits in for Trey Wingo with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. And look, Mike Jr., there's a couple of times in your life that you don't have to apologize for how much you sleep. It's when you're really young, and it's when you get to his age. And that's what... Hey, look, you said I can't come into the basement and just hang out after the show's
that's
over.
That's true.
So I had to get something to eat.
The Bison DeChambeau culture of elder shaming has become really pervasive.
Seems so.
He has
seems
set a so. Bad precedence yep. around here.
Back in the day.
That was not a smart pick by me, but let's get to some smart picks brought to you by Redbox. The smart pick on Redbox is to take a summer vacation. Since many of us can't take an actual vacation this summer, take a virtual vacation. Check out some movies available at Redbox. It's almost like you're there. I am going to do Christmas in July because you know me and I'm insufferable that way. So I'm going like my vacation is going to be to go to Christmas Thoughts with Christmas Vacation.
Oh,
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I'm all in on
so
that. That's where
good.
I'm headed. Thank you.
I love that movie.
So you aren't going. So you.
Oh wow!
My mom. I can say ho ho. Oh, it's really. Be really careful with that.
She
one.
Just came down here and said, "Easy oh, with that blank, Jason. Yeah, about getting old."
I was afraid the mic picked that up for
wow.
a second.
I am. I am
hit the dump button. For, on that I can one? Say.
So for anyone that can't see what
Holy
just happened, my
smokes.
Mom off camera came down, glared at Jason. Pointed at him and berated him yeah. after the comment with, about the people of a certain age.
Anyone that can't expletives. See us on TV, I am bright red at this point.
Wow.
I'm gonna have to find like a back door to get out of. Like, is
Holy
there a secret
smokes.
Window I can crawl
yeah,
out?
Jason, you're leaving here in a casket.
And you know what you did? Now she's in a bad mood. But guess what you've done? You've ruined my day.
I'm getting the hell out of here with you right yeah. after the show.
Wow.
Oh. You know, I like to think that I've made so many contributions to the Golic family over the last few years.
And see how easily it can all go away and mean nothing?
My mom's about to contribute a beating to you.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Like I said, that's the problem. My mom would wear you out. She is very scary when she's angry.
Oh, believe me, I see her on Twitter, so I know that. You know, I understand that.
Oh, is this another shot at me and Dad not being
We
on
don't
Twitter?
Have Twitter. Okay, we get it. Mike and I don't have Twitter. Somebody help us, please.
By the way, even though I don't have Twitter, I will still espouse, because we are making smart picks for movies this weekend, that Mamma Mia is going to be a fantastic movie here, a musical with a combination of the sights and sounds of ABBA. I still have to see Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, the sequel to that one. I've heard it is breathtaking. I still have to make some time for that this weekend, so maybe that'll be my smart pick on this one, the sequel to A Musical Triumph.
You do that, I'm going with you, Jason, at Christmas Vacation, and that's all I'm doing, going with you, because you're on the bad side of my better half.
Jason's
so
in the doghouse. Yeah,
like, we could have a watch party together. Like, no, I'll come over.
There's nothing that I'm going to be doing with you until you make up with my wife.
Well, I'll bring cookies and popcorn. Like, that's... No.
Not going
to
do it.
Not, is there, like, a... You know how to make her not be mad at
I'm
you anymore.
I'm keeping
like,
my special ways to myself.
Mike, any advice?
What? I mean, you can do what my dad does and just fall asleep through most of the problems and wake up and hope they're gone.
Fair.
The smart pick in sports is Tiger Woods. Tiger's won the Memorial Tournament 5 times. He's back on the PGA Tour for the first time since February. Smart picks brought to you by Redbox. Rent the newest releases fresh from the theater at the box, or importantly, on demand.
So I want to know if Tiger, now Tiger again is at 1 under. He went to 2 under and then dropped back to 1 under. He's still, I think the leader is now at 7 under. But if he is up near the lead, top 10, top 20, and ahead of Bryson DeChambeau, at any point today, tomorrow, maybe Sunday, do we get just a line from him that references a back in the day or, you know, for his age? Do we get some kind of snarky comment by him going back to that? He has to be doing well in this tournament to do it, and ahead of DeChambeau, I think, as well.
Yeah, oh, it's got to be well-timed
yeah,
in all this
yeah.
one.
Would he do it?
Going off of what we saw in Tiger from the match, it didn't seem like he was going to be one to take real overt shots. If he does it, it's going to be kind of an undercut, right?
Because
right?
we know he set it out on the course with, yes. with the guys he was playing with.
We heard it was set out there. We don't know if maybe it was one of those guys, whether it was Koepka or Rory saying it to Tiger, but it was said. So you're right. It's out there in the ether.
But will Tiger say it?
I don't think he'll say it unless he wins. Like, at the end of it all, he'll reference it in his final moment. But he's smart enough to not throw he doesn't want to throw that out there and then have it come back to bite him in the last round. So I do think, though, if he wins, we'll get it.
God, I would love to hear that.
Just to slip it in a press conference, you know, just like play it like the meow game from
Super
Troopers.
I hit that shot
Troopers.
On 17, kind of like back in the day when I though just it would just be awesome.
You know, I'm playing well for my age. I mean, yeah. there's going to be some sort of a dig.
They say if you can shoot your age,
but keep an eye on Bam Cam though today, right?
Yes, Bam Cam, the official Bryson DeChambeau.
That's it.
Which
I love
was,
that.
By the way, completely my creation and idea. I've put it out there on social media to exist, so therefore that means it's mine to have. I don't know. We'll go with that. Coming up Monday on Golic Wingo, baseball's opening week is here. Latest from the NBA bubble. Can Tiger make a run at Memorial? And Rulon Gardner joins us. Going to be great. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much, guys.
10 left.